Our next case for this morning is United States against Roberto Sanchez. Mr. Zafiro.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is attorney Richard Zafiro from Alatosa, Wisconsin, here on behalf of the appellant Roberto Sanchez. The first thing that has to be addressed, I think, in any appeal is standard of review. We're not contesting the facts which were found by the district court as far as it went. So we're not even dealing with the clear error standard here today. Rather, it is at a minimum the application of those facts to 3B1.1, which would be the due deference standard, and in fact the very definition of manager or supervisor itself, which is a de novo standard of review. Does Sanchez meet the legal definition of a manager or a supervisor? We don't have any evidence in this case, for instance, of disciplining. We don't have any evidence in this case of decision making. We have no evidence in this case of discretion being exercised by Mr. Sanchez at all. He's not a manager or a supervisor. He's basically a co-worker with different duties for Mr. Rojas, and it is in relation to Mr. Rojas.
Didn't he choose the vehicle for Mr. Rojas and how it was equipped?
Well, that's one of the questions that was addressed by trial counsel below, and my read of the record is that that's one of the questions that, for whatever reason, the district court never answered. The trial judge took the position that the particular vehicle that was bought for Mr. Rojas was actually selected by Mr. Moreno Avila, or Individual A, as he's known, for the purpose that Mr. Moreno knew that that particular vehicle could be equipped with a special compartment to carry the drugs that, in fact, he had installed. So I guess in answer to your question, no, we don't have a record of that.
Well, isn't that, though, I mean, that's maybe one way of looking at it, but I thought the facts showed that this vehicle was titled, or that Mr. Sanchez was the one who got it, and that he also, on top of the vehicle, you know, he pays the rent at this apartment. You know, and this isn't, it doesn't matter if Mr. Gallegos Rojas is also involved, because you don't have to have only one manager.
Right, but you have a relative responsibility, and that's really the question of 3B1.1. What's the relative responsibility? Everyone's got a job. The job of Mr. Rojas is to take the cash to California and bring back cocaine. The job of Mr. Sanchez apparently is in procurement, in the procurement department of this five-person thing. Whether or not Mr. Sanchez had any discretion over the particular vehicle, the particular place, how to title it, how to insure it, the record is silent on that. He may simply have been carrying out the requirements of Mr. Chavez. Where do we know relative responsibility? We know it between Chavez and Sanchez because Mr. Chavez sends Mr. Sanchez to Indiana to go collect the debt. That's clearly a supervisory role. But
the question is really vis-a-vis Rojas, and the government points to evidence that Rojas is phoning in to Sanchez, reporting his movements across the country, and that he tells Rojas when it's time to deliver the money, when it's time to pick up the cocaine.
Right, and I don't know that any of that shows supervision. A dispatcher in a cab company, for instance, says, go pick up the fare on, you know, Wabash Street, whatever. That doesn't make him the cabbie's boss. He's simply telling the cabbie that's where the fare is, go get him. And I don't know that we have anything more or different here than that sort of function, that you have different duties and there doesn't appear to be decision-making. You know, because it's a guilty plea hearing, we haven't had a full fleshing out of facts like you would have had if there was a trial. All we've got to go on really is the PSR. And in the PSR, we don't see evidence of decision-making. We don't see evidence of exercise of discretion. We simply see evidence of Mr. Rojas from the road saying, hey, I'm in Podunk, I'm almost there, or you know what, there's vultures, and just more or less reporting. We don't see any evidence of any decision-making authority by Mr. Sanchez as to what to do depending on what Mr. Rojas says. Like, for instance, if Rojas says there's vultures, we don't ever see in the record from the PSR Sanchez saying, oh, okay, well, tell you what, stop your drive, stay put, lay low. We don't see anything of any sort that would indicate decision-making authority or exercise of discretion, simply acting much like the dispatcher at a cab company might.
Well, I guess, I mean, certainly the arguments that you're making could have caused a reasonable district court judge to think that this was not an appropriate enhancement, but I come back to the facts that the government did urge and that the district court did seem to rely on from the PSR, that Sanchez is one of the people who recruits Rojas, that Rojas is calling him up. He's not calling up somebody else. He's not calling up, you know, another member of the conspiracy. He is keeping the Sanchez informed. And Sanchez, as Judge Schindler was pointing out, is one of the people who helps equip him with what he needs, whether it's the apartment, whether it's the car.
But at whose discretion and at whose decision?
Well, so he's in the middle. He doesn't get the top-level enhancement here. He gets the middle level.
Well, if, in fact, he is a manager supervisor, and, of course, there you go to the de novo standard, does this kind of co-worker differentiation between duties, one guy's job is to take those phone calls and to be the procurement guy, another guy's job is to be the driver and to take the trips to and from California, that doesn't really make him his boss any more than in a law firm. You have secretaries and you have law clerks and you have the mail room, and they all have different roles, and maybe they're paid all different, but none of that shows that one of them is the other one's boss or manager or supervisor. And that's, I guess, the problem here, especially when you have such a small group, five people. We all know that Mr. Chavez has a major role here because Mr. Chavez is the one, among other things, he's the one who has the guns. What kind of a supervisor has no guns? And that's Mr. Sanchez. He has no guns. None of them have guns except for Mr. Chavez. And Mr. Chavez appears to be the one they're all working for, bless you, in different roles here, simply different roles. The exerting of authority, we don't see it. Real or direct influence of a criminal activity. Is Mr. Sanchez somehow exercising influence? Certainly, there is this calling in, and on so many of these cases, they have so many wiretaps. I think here there was 14 calls, and as close as we get to direction here is one call where Rojas says, hey, you know, should I pull her on back? Yeah, go pull her on back. That hardly sounds like the kind of thing that gets a person to this enhancement level.
I agree with you. If that were the only thing in the record.
Well, that's the strongest thing that they have in terms of any direct evidence of control.
Direct evidence, though. I mean, what you're
dealing with. Circumstantially, you can certainly argue, well, maybe it means this and maybe it means that. And that's, of course, the due deference standard, whether or not you're going to, in your exercise of due deference, say, you know what, the district court got it right. And I would submit that they did not. And I would submit that beyond that, de novo, you get to say, this is what manager means. Now, here's the facts that were found. Does this fit that? Is this a manager? Doesn't appear to me to be the case. That's why I'm standing here arguing my heart out to you, because it simply isn't there. The evidence of control simply isn't there. Trial counsel argued for a lot of additional findings that, had they been made, would have really helped this discussion a lot. And at a minimum, you might even want to remand this case to have those findings made. Did Sanchez, in fact, only get a minority share of the drugs? Clearly, the recruiting was done by both Sanchez and by Moreno. Moreno, in turn, having recruited Sanchez. Was the purchase done at the direction of Moreno, as was argued by trial counsel? If that car was bought because Moreno said, I need you to get this kind of car because I can put a compartment in this car. I can't do one in that. You know, does that mean that Sanchez is such a person who should get this enhancement? This looks a lot like the Mankiewicz case that was argued at length, and my time is running short unless you want me to further address that. But the other argument that was made by trial counsel, I think, at worst, and I understand the trial court said you really can't fractionalize here, but again, with due deference, I think you actually could take a look and say, with these five people here, do we have the separate delivery logistic? And I think at worst, you have that. I think at worst, you have the two-point enhancement. But I did want to reserve some rebuttal time here, so hopefully I still have some.
I'll give you a minute, but I would reserve
it
now if I were you.
I will be quiet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Mr. Mariotti.
May it please the Court. My name is Renato Mariotti, and I represent the United States in this appeal. The District Court's finding that the defendant was a manager or supervisor for purposes of Guideline 3B1.1b is not clear error. The District Court explicitly based its finding upon a number of facts that clearly established that the defendant was a manager or supervisor. As the District Court found, the defendant recruited Rojas. As the District Court found, the defendant directed Rojas. The defendant paid Rojas.
So when we say directed, I mean, I think what Mr. Zafiro is trying to dig into is what does it mean? I mean, if directed just means, you know, they chatted about the weather on the phone, then, you know, maybe we wouldn't say that really should be characterized as direction. If it means, obviously, we can take it down a scale and we can get to the point of imagining Sanchez saying, now drive to this address in California and pick up the drugs and don't go this other route or whatever, you know, being very directive. So what does the record – it is a skimpy record, and actually this is one of the thinner conspiracies that 151 months, right, is what he winds up with?
That's right, Your Honor. What the record shows, Your Honor, is that Sanchez would contact Rojas and tell Rojas when it's time to deliver money to California and where to go to deliver that money. And in addition, Sanchez would tell Rojas where to pick up cocaine to bring it back to Chicago and where to bring that cocaine.
Now, does it make any difference if Sanchez is essentially operating as, say, Moreno's mouthpiece, you know, saying, you know, I've been told to tell you to deliver the cocaine in this way?
Well, as a matter of fact, I don't think it is, Your Honor. As this court held in Martinez, the argument that the supervisor manager is a middleman in the organization is not an argument that the person is not a manager supervisor. And in any event, that's really a dispute of fact here. The defendant, in his objections to the PSR below, said that there was this other individual that is not in the PSR, that is not the what the government argued in its response to those objections, and the district court decided who to believe. And as this court has held many times, when the district court is making a decision as to who to believe, it's almost never vulnerable to a finding of clear error. And that really brings me to the standard of review issue.
Well, that's right. I mean, it seems to me that the facts are not so much in dispute here. This is really a characterization point, which drifts us over toward a more searching standard of review.
That's right, Your Honor. And the standard of review is a clear error. And this court has held that in many cases. Mendoza, which I cited in the government's brief, which makes clear that the district court's determination concerning the defendant's participation in defense is a finding of fact, which is subject to clear error. In addition, Martinez, which we've also cited, 520 F3rd 749, and Bautista, 532 F3rd 667. This court has repeatedly held that determination as to whether or not a defendant is a manager or supervisor is subject to clear error review.
Well, actually, I think what you're maybe arguing, and this I believe is correct, is that it's not just the underlying facts. It's as long as we understand what a manager is, the application of the facts to that standard is something that we also review deferentially, so-called mixed questions. There's nothing constitutional about this. This is just an application of a guideline standard. Now, if one wondered what's a manager and can you have more than one, and, you know, can a manager be somebody who doesn't get more money? Or, I mean, it seems to me there are questions about the legal definition of a manager that we would not review deferentially.
I think that may be the case, Your Honor, but that, of course, does not appear to me to be the issue here. The issue is not a legal question of what it is to be a manager as much as a dispute about what the district court's determination was, what the facts were that the district court relied upon. And the district court did rely upon facts that were in the PSR and that were before it and made a number of findings that seemed to support that determination. And I think those findings are subject to clear error review. If there are no further questions, I'll save mine.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
And I will give you a full minute, Mr. Zafiro.
Thanks. Actually, the issue is a legal question of whether or not Mr. Sanchez is a manager. It's precisely the question here today. And the standard of review is as set forth in 3742E and the Buford case. I believe we do have, at a minimum, due deference and possibly a de novo, certainly as to the definition, a de novo standard of review. Did Mr. Sanchez play a leading role in the offense? No evidence that he played a leading role in the offense. And that, of course, is the Was case cited by the government itself. Was he shown to have planned or organized? No. You can circumstantially maybe infer that, but that was not a finding made by the district court. When and where should Mr. Rojas go? Did any discretion get exercised by Mr. Sanchez, and that record is silent on that? Why is Mr. Rojas being paid $7,000 instead of $3,000 or $10,000? Did Mr. Sanchez have any say over that? Again, the record is silent for whether he was anything more than the paymaster handing out the paycheck at the end of the trip. No evidence on the record that Mr. Sanchez profited more than anybody else. I'm asking this court to reverse and remand. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And you were appointed.
Yes,
and we wish to thank you very much for your assistance to the court and to your client. And thank you as well.